chapter 18. We're in a series on Sunday mornings on the great prophet. His name's Elijah. And we've just kind of like discussing his life story as it unfolds before us. And we have found ourselves in chapter 18, verse 41. But Fred, Granny, thank you for these beautiful roses in honor of your dad. How old was your dad when he died? 93. And we appreciate you in 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 41. Chapter 18 verse 41. And we just came off of Mount Carmel, and where they had the contest and the showdown. And so here we are in verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, drink, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now remember, there's been a drought for 3.5 years. And they just proved which God is God, whether it was Baal or Jehovah God. And he's just killed 850 prophets, false prophets. And so that's what he says. Elijah goes to King Ahab and tells him that. In verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he," that's Elijah, "said to the servant, 'Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out in the sea like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Charles Dickens' novel, The Tale of Two Cities, began with a famous line. And the line was this: it was the best of times and the worst of times. And that's the case as we unfold this story in this series of Elijah and Ahab. The best of times for Elijah and the worst of times for Ahab. Let me recap, just to bring this. It's been a week, and some of you may have longer than a week, but let me just kind of recap where we are as we continue our series here. The nation Israel had been divided, and they've got two different divisions, with two different leaders, two different kings, and they've suffered a 3.5-year drought, a famine. The Bible calls it a sore famine in the land. People are starving. Thousands have died. The nation overall is in a desperate situation. And so Elijah has prayed a simple prayer. And God sent fire upon the bullock that was drenched with rain or with water. And God answered. And God came through. And God showed up. And God showed out. And so, by the prayer of Elijah, and what happened was all Israel that was divided, all Israel repented and reproclaimed their faith in the true and living God, Jehovah God. And the visible evidence that it was God, not Baal, that was the true and living God. What a day that must have been. What a time that must have been. What an event that was. And there are now there are certain stories in the Bible that are so well known that when a person's name is mentioned, then we automatically think of that person and that event that kind of like lines up with that person. If you think about Noah, you think about the ark, you think about the flood, you think about the animals. So, you know, there's just certain things that you think about when you hear Noah. When you think about Abraham, you think about him being 100 years old when he became a father to Isaac, the promised son. When you think about David, you think about Goliath. When you think about Elijah, you think about Mount Carmel, that great story we went over last week. And I can just tell you as an eyewitness of going to Carmel. When I was in Israel, I went up into the mountains of Mount Carmel, and the tour guide took us up there. And there, before Elijah did what he did last week, there was a statue of Baal, an idol, a false altar that was raised up in Baal. It was called Baal Mountain. And when you go there today, there is a giant statue of what they deemed Elijah looked like. And he looks exactly what you would think that he looked like. I mean, who knows? But in that statue, I mean, he's a mountain man. He's a man's man. He's a big man. And so you go up there. I've been up there, and you go up there, and there's a huge statue of Elijah. So there's been no rain. And there was no rain because of Israel's idolatry. There was no rain because of the false prophets, and now they've been killed. There was no rain, but because of what happened on Mount Carmel, the Israelites have all repented back to the true and living God. And so now it's time for God to open the heavens and to allow rain to come. Because they have so much, they need rain. They need rain in a very, very desperate way. And so I'm going to tell you about two things in the story as we kind of unpack it this morning. Number one, Elijah was a promise claimer. You hear about promise keepers. Elijah is a promise claimer. In verse 41, notice what it said. After 3.5 years of drought, and then in verse 41, we just read it. For there was a sound of an abundance of rain. That don't mean that he had heard lightning or thunder. It don't mean that at that time. It just means that, hey, he's a promise claimer. God said it. God's going to do it. God promised it. You can bank on it. He's a promise claimer. Now, most of us have been somewhere in our life where much needed rain was the prayer of the day. And then it came. You've been there when it rained after a long drought, after a long dry period, after just a long season of summer. I mean, the feel, the smell, the sound, the sight. And we sit there thinking, what an amazing God, what an awesome God we serve. You've been there. So you can kind of imagine what it must have been like in 1 Kings 18. We can't actually get our arms around it because who's ever been through a 3.5-year drought where people are dying and crops are, or there's no crops and the animals in the field are just carcasses rotting because there's no rain. But here we see that we have a man by the name of Elijah who is not only a prophet, but he's a promise claimer. The Bible says in verse 42 that Elijah returns to Mount Carmel. He goes there to witness one more God-sized display of simply God doing what God can do and Baal doing what Baal cannot do. And Elijah knew that once that victory happened on Mount Carmel, Elijah knew that rain was on its way, not because he heard the thunder, not because he saw the black clouds, not because the wind was just right, but he knew it because the God he served had promised rain was coming. And that's exactly where you and I want to be. Man, there's a pandemic. There's fear. There's discouragement. I mean, there's people that got different opinions and different ideas on what's safe and what's not safe. Hey, can I just tell you, be a promise claimer. Hey, find you a promise from the one who never fails, from the one who never takes back, from the one that you can count on and bank on because he's faithful, not sometimes, not most of the time, but because he's faithful all the time. Hey, be a promise claimer. plan. And that's what Elijah knew. He knew that it was going to rain because God had promised it. You see, it wasn't because of Doppler radar, but it was because of his faith that he knew the outcome. His faith assured him that God would come through. His faith gave him assurance and confidence that, hey, rain was coming. It wasn't based on something he saw. It wasn't based on something he felt. It was based on the faith. And the word faith is defined in Hebrews 11. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so, hey, it was the inside, just trusting God, who's the promise-keeping God, the promise-hearing God, the promise-providing God. And because of that, if we serve him, then we are to be a promise-claimer of those promises that our God gives. Elijah believed in prayer and the promises of God. Do you? Elijah, the promise-claimer. In verse 1, in 1 Kings 18:1, I will send rain upon the earth. God told him that I will send rain upon the earth. There's the promise that he's referring to. In the first of chapter 18, this is the end of chapter 18 we're talking about today. He's just claiming God's promise. Elijah believed in God's promises, so that calls for an application of a teachable moment for us today at Sprandon Baptist Church. You see, some Bible promises are conditional, and there are some Bible promises that are unconditional. So if you want to know a Bible promise that is conditional, then you can go to Matthew 21. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That's conditional. That promise is conditioned on two things. You and I as Christians have to ask, and you and I as Christians have to have absolute faith. That's a Bible promise that is conditional on you and I doing what we're supposed to do. There's an A part of that promise and there's a B part. God says, if you do A part, I will do B part. And that's exactly this. Many, many, many verses that have an A part and a B part. There's something we're to do and there's something that God does. But God don't do it until you do your part or I do my part. Trust and obey. We just sung that song. And that's exactly, it's conditional. Here it goes again. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Two parts. Is there something on your heart? Is there something that you need, you want? Hey, I'm telling you, you can get it if you simply will ask in prayer, believing, trusting him to come through. Hey, it's a conditional prayer. Hey, there's unconditional prayer. And an unconditional example of a prayer is Psalm 119:105. You guys know this verse. You've said it since a kid. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, that's a unconditional promise. There's nothing you have to do. Hey, God's word's a light. It's a lamp. That's a promise that he gives you and I. Whether we do anything, whether we do our part or not, no. There's nothing to do. Hey, that's just a promise he gives us that in a dark world, in a perplexed world, in a turned upside down world, it's seemingly like we're in right now. Hey, he promises you and I that, hey, his word, the word of God, his word, the Bible, his word, the final authority in what we do, is like a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. It's a promise to all, no strings attached. It's a promise to us. God's word never confuses. God's word never camouflages, and God's word never covers truth. And so you just got to make up your mind that, hey, it's God's word that's the final authority. It's not Brother Don's word that's the final authority on doctrine. It's God's word, the Bible, that's a final authority on doctrine. Now, you would hope that Brother Don would simply follow the word of God, and so that's why you have to have a Bible, and you have to check me out. I want you to trust me and love me, but hey, you better check me out. And you better check every person that calls himself a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a prophet. Check them out. Make sure that what they're saying lines up with the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that simply is the final authority. And it never covers or camouflages or confuses. So God instructs Elijah. Go confront Ahab, verse 41. We just read it. And tell him I will send the rain. God's a promise keeper, and Elijah is a promise claimer. Hey, Spradlin Baptist, we serve a God who keeps his promise, and let me encourage you as a pastor this morning, you and I, let's be some promise claimers. Elijah had witnessed no rain for 3+ years. Elijah had witnessed meals supplied by ravens. Elijah had witnessed endless supply meal from an empty barrel with the widow. Elijah had experienced a cruse of oil that had no oil in it, but every time they poured it, more oil came out. He simply experienced those things, the goodness and graces and miraculous works of that only God could do. Hey, Elijah experienced the resurrection of a widow's son from the dead. Think about it. I mean, this man has seen it. He's experienced it. He's lived it. He's had a personal upfront encounter with these many things. Hey, Elijah was the promise claimer. Hey, I'm talking to some people this morning where you too have seen God do some things. And you said to yourself, only God could work that out. Only God could have intervened. Only God could have gave me peace in that situation. All I'm saying, friend, is you too, like Elijah, have seen God work. You're not just here hearing about other stories of people. You're not here just hearing about what God did with Elijah. No, you and I have seen God work in our individual lives. We've seen him work in our families. We've seen him work in situations, and we just realized it was God that did what only God can do. I'm saying, based on your personal testimony, based on your personal encounter with that kind of a God, hey, I'm encouraging you. Be like Elijah. I'm encouraging you to be a promise claimer. But not only was he a promise claimer, but number two, Elijah was a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior. Look at verse 42. We just read it, but let me read it again. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, we're talking about a tale of two cities. Or better yet, a tale of two different men's destinations, circumstances, journeys. You see, Ahab, the king, he was concerned with material things. Elijah, the prophet, is concerned with spiritual things. You see, Ahab, the king, he's concerned with temporal things. But Elijah, the prophet, he's concerned with eternal things. You see, Ahab, the king, he's concerned with time. But Elijah, the prophet, he's concerned with eternity. I mean, there's a difference. There's a vast difference in these two men, their journeys, their lives, their destinations. Hey, can I ask you this morning, what is the barometer of your spiritual growth? Have you ever thought about that? Since you got saved at whatever age you got saved and whatever age you are now, hey, how mature are you spiritually? Because that's important. So what's the barometer? Is it hard to sit through a 30, 40-minute sermon? You just dread it? But you can go to a sporting event that lasts 2 hours, and if it goes into overtime, man, you're the biggest fan. People like that. The barometer of spirituality. Or the preacher touches on sin. Is your barometer like, I wonder who he's talking to? He's not talking to me. The barometer. It's that, yeah, Brother Don, man, he got everybody but me today. You see, the Mount Carmel showdown contest is over. And when it's over, Ahab, King Ahab, he goes to a feeding feast, and Elijah goes to a faithful father. That's the barometer. Elijah's lost. Elijah's God didn't come through. Or excuse me, Ahab's God, he lost the contest. Hey, Ahab's God, he's proven to be a sham and a phony. Counterfeit.
And Ahab goes and has a feast and celebrates drinking and eating. And Elijah, on the other hand, he won the battle. He won the contest. His God showed up. His God proved who God was. And he just goes up there, the same place it all happened, and he becomes the prayer warrior, thanking God for what he had done. Now, he prays to God. Now, in verse 42, he prayed in a humble way. He bowed himself before the Lord, humbled. He wasn't beating his chest. He wasn't acting like, hey, I'm going to spike the ball. He wasn't doing a touchdown dance. No, he's like humbled because of what God showed him, what God did with him personally in that front. You see, Elijah's not, he's just a mountain man. I mean, and as a mountain man, he stood strong and sturdy and stable as an ambassador at Mount Carmel. And now he's bowing down as an intercessory prayer, humbled before the God who did what God did. Now that's the way to pray. He was a prayer warrior. By the way, when you talk about being humble, before there could be a blessing from above, there has to be a brokenness before God. He was broken. He prayed. 62-word prayer that God would deliver, that God would hear, that God would answer. He was humbled. He still is. You know, when you think about prayer, can I just tell you what the Bible says about praying? The different postures in the Bible of how we pray. The Bible talks about standing and praying. The Bible talks about kneeling and praying in Ezra. The Bible talks about sitting and praying in 1 Chronicles. The Bible talks about uplifting hands and praying in 1 Timothy. The Bible talks about bowing in prayer in Exodus and other places. Many ways to pray. Ladies, when you're washing the dishes, you can pray. Hey, fellas, when you're mowing the yard, hey, you can pray. Be humble. Elijah was a prayer warrior. He was also specific. James 1:5, it talks about this very story. It says, Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And 3+ years later, in verse 18, that same verse in chapter 5 of James, and he prayed again for rain. He prayed, Lord, please, don't let it rain. And now he's praying for God to change his mind and to send rain. He prayed specifically when he prays humbled. Now he's praying specific prayers. He was a matter-of-fact type guy. He didn't waste time on generalities. Lord, save the world. Lord, bless all the missionaries. Lord, bless all the hungry. No, 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 no. He was a specific type of prayer. He prayed specifically. God honors that kind of prayer. He was prayed. His prayers was humbled. His prayer was specific. Number 3, his prayers was earnest. Elijah prayed earnestly and sincerely and fervently. Hebrews 10 tells us this. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. The holiest. Think about it. We're to be humble. We're to be specific. We're to be earnest. God forbid that we pray flippant prayers. Do you realize you go into the Holy of Holies? Do you realize you have an audience with just you and the God of creation? You realize that this is not, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, 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 no. You're praying to the creator of the world. You're praying to Jehovah God. You're praying to the one who simply is in charge of nature. You're praying to the one that gave his son for your life. Hey, that's who you're praying to. Be humble. Be specific. In your prayers, to be a prayer warrior, hey, be earnest. And then fourthly, hey, be persistent. That's probably the most important thing. Be persistent. In verse 43, Elijah tells his servant, hey, sir, go look out in the sea. He's praying for rain. Go look out in the sea. See if you see anything out there. And Elijah's praying. And the servant goes and checks. And he comes back. And they're both expecting God to send rain. And so Elijah's praying. And this fellow's coming back. The servant's coming back to kind of give him an update on what's going on. And he comes back and said, I know I saw nothing. And Elijah said, I'm going to pray here. You go back and check it again. He came back, no, I don't see nothing. You go back and he did it 7 times. You got to be persistent. 7 times. In other words, Elijah and his servant was in a partnership. Elijah said, let's watch and pray. You watch, I'll pray. Partnership. And when the partner came back and said, I see nothing out there, hey, Elijah's sitting back. Not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 7 times. You got to be persistent in your prayer. He was a promise claimer. He's a prayer warrior. He's seen God answer amazing, miraculous prayers. Hey, he knows that God's going to answer his prayer. He's just being persistent. The thought was not if God will answer. The thought was when God's answer arrives. He was persistent. Hey, friends, can I tell you this? Don't give up in your prayer life. We have a God who hears and answers prayer. Don't give up. Be persistent. Follow the prayer warrior's pattern here. Can I just tell you, you might be closer. You might be nearer to the answer that you've been praying for than you ever thought before. Sometimes God answers quickly. Sometimes and other times God answers are delayed. But you pray until God answers your prayer. Go again. Go again. Go again. Elijah was persistent. He kept praying and sending the servant. Servant said, there's nothing out there. Go again. He comes back and says, well, there's a little cloud out there. It looks like about the size of a man's hand. He said, go again. He comes back and the Bible says in verse 45, there was a great rain. This was no light drizzle. There was a great rain. This is no short summer shower. This was a great rain. This was no spurt of moisture to the ground. No. Hey, it was a great rain. It was one of those heavenly sent heavy rains. Cats and dogs. It was one of those heavenly sent heavy rains. I mean, a gully washer for us Arkansas people. Hey, it was a downpour that broke the 3.5-year drought. That's the kind of God Elijah served. That's the kind of God that he was a promise claimer to. That's the kind of God that he was a prayer warrior. And that's the kind of God that it took place. In James 5:18, New Testament talks about this very story. It says, the heavens gave rain and the earth brought forth fruit. Hey, spiritually, let me ask you, have you experienced a spiritual drought in your spirituality? I don't know about you. Man, don't we just from time to time need times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Elijah, the promise claimer. Elijah, the prayer warrior. No matter where the path that we are on has led us, never fear. We'll never be abandoned. Will never be forsaken from God because of the promise that God gave us in Hebrews. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm telling you, friends, it'll never happen. It's an impossibility. Hey, we have His promise, and you can bank on it. So let's be promise claimers, and let's be prayer warriors. Now, let me finish with this Bible illustration. You know about the man by the name of Job, the book of Job, named after him, the Old Testament, right before Psalms. When you start to read chapters 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Job, it records, don't miss it, it records the single worst day in the world, in my opinion. Job was an upright man. Job was a godly man. Job was a man that hated evil. And on that particular day, Job in chapter 1 receives the news that he has 10 children and all 10 children died. All his servants died. All his stock, camels, mules, goats died. He lost it all. And then he came down with a horrible disease, what we would think as shingles. And then, don't miss it, and then that's in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And Job heard nothing from God. From chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, all the way to chapter 38, he heard nothing from God. Nothing. Went through that worst day of his life. Chapters 1 and chapter 2, and he heard nothing from God until chapter 38. Hey, church member, can I tell you? Don't give up. You might be within the next chapter of God answering your prayer. You might be in the next verse of God answering your prayer. You might be in the very next word, chapter verse, ended the next verse, God shows up in chapter 38. Because God is faithful. God never fails. God's there for you like he was for Job. I can't tell you why God waited from chapter 2 to chapter 38. All I can tell you is that God's faithful. And can I tell you the end? That God gave Job back what he lost. God gave him back 10 more children. God gave him back servants. God gave him back camels and goats and stock. We serve a faithful God. And we ought to be promise claimers. And we ought to be prayer warriors. Can I tell you that whoever I'm talking to today, there is no scene so dark that God can't brighten it. Can I tell you whoever I'm talking to this morning that there's no writing so permanent that God can't change it? And can I tell you, whoever I'm talking to this morning, there is no heart so hard that God can't soften. Elijah tells the servant, go look toward the sea, go again for 7 times. And the Bible says, and there was a great rain. Hey, Sprite and Baptist, don't quit. Hey, Sprite and Baptist, hey, don't stop. Hey, Spratling Baptist, don't give up. Chapter 38 just might be around the corner. And the Bible says, and there came a great rain. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. Maybe God spoke to you today. Maybe you believe the Bible, you believe the promises, but you hadn't been a promise claimer. Man, what an opportunity in the day we live in to give God the credit and God the glory and his word the glory. While you talk about, hey, God has promised to take care of us. God has promised to protect us. God has promised to be there for us. Be a promise claimer. And maybe you kind of had a prayer life, but not much of one. And so God's convicted you today through the Holy Spirit, and you want to be a prayer warrior. You want to see God do what we read about. We don't just want to simply go with what we want to see God do great and mighty things, but we know it's not. And when God does that, we know it's God and not us. You're here today and you're looking for a church home. You're here today and you're looking, you're here today and you never been baptized. So you're here today and you just need to get saved. Hey, today would be the wonderful day for you to do that. Holy Spirit convicted you. Come. Father in heaven, we pray. Take the message, Lord, and apply it to our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you to stand.
Reuben, is the song going to be a little more?
Yes, we've got the words that they're singing with me.
We can help you come, okay? Don't be shy.
Just as I am.
What about it? Promise claimer. Rain's coming because God said it's coming. Chapter 38, I'd rather look, don't give up.
so much for your attention. You folks just make it easy for me to preach. I appreciate it. I love the opportunity. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm very free.